Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights are around the table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! Hee hee! King Shaziz the Turbo! I rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table over at ShazizRadio.com. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can jump over there to www.ShazizRadio.com/superchat.html. We have the option to be able to talk to not just the Shaziz radio crew, but you can talk to the Awake radio side as well. Meet a lot of good folks on there. So, with that said right there, let's jump right on into this. So far, none of the Knights have showed up here, but when they do, you'll hear the phone ring on there, and hey, we'll take it where it goes. Anyway, I want to play a short little clip of something that is relevant to this world, what's going on in this world today. And I'm sure you'll understand why after... All right, well, I'll go ahead and play this live right here.
Hey everybody, Tim McDonald here from Climate Desk at the Climate Change Summit in Paris, which has finally just concluded. It's an incredibly exciting moment here. Diplomats from around the world, after working on climate change negotiations for over 20 years, have finally managed to reach a legally binding agreement that almost every country on Earth has agreed to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions over time and start to prepare for the impacts of climate change. This is it, right here. I'm holding it in my hands. This is the agreement. It's about 25 pages long. This is the first ever legally binding document internationally that starts to tackle climate change. Now, there are some things in this that not everyone was happy with, and in fact, right at the very end of the negotiation, up until just about an hour ago, we were waiting to hear, it turned out there were actually some typos in this document that kind of threw a wrench into the works right at the last minute, but that appears to be resolved now. This agreement has been officially adopted just minutes ago, and now the really difficult work starts to take place. A lot of the things that are in this agreement don't necessarily get us to where we need to be on climate change. The problem isn't solved. What this does instead is to set out a set of steps, starting in 2018, 2020, and then every 5 years after that, countries are going to be ramping up their climate ambitions. This really kind of lays out the roadmap for where we're going to be going with this over the next 10, 15, 20 years. So the problem's not solved yet, but now we have a kind of view of what this is going to look like in the future. It's hard for me to overstate how significant this moment is. Like I said, this is something we've been working on and waiting for a very long time. It's a huge moment for the climate change movement, and I'm going to go join the party. Have a great night, everyone. Goodbye.
Alrighty, pretty much you heard it. The world just reached an agreement to combat climate change. Well, anybody who's listened to my radio shows and my science, mad science program and watched my YouTube knows how I feel about the whole so-called climate change debacle. And if you pay attention, or if you have been paying attention to what's going on out there in the world today, you might start to realize it's only a small amount of individuals out there who are actually making the laws, making the rules, making up the so-called treaty. You know, these supposed representatives around the world who have essentially sold out your sovereignty to other nations so that we can come together to combat this bogus global warming scam, where they're in, they want to just essentially start taxing you for carbon dioxide, which is a natural occurring gas in the world. So I don't want to sit around and argue over all the science and stuff. I've been over that over and over and over again. But the scary part about this whole entire episode isn't just that a small group of world leaders around there are deciding the fate for all of humanity. The same world leaders involved in bombing campaigns around the globe and, you know, not practicing what they preach as far as flying around in corporate jets and limousines and all that kind of stuff. You know, the wealthy elite of the world, the pampered, so to speak, the folks that wouldn't know what a real job was if it hit them in the face. So, while that's going on and the fate of the world's being decided by a bunch of madmen at the helm, what's going on out there in the world? What is the average Joe up to? Well, ironically enough, YouTube has put another button up on their showing things that are trending. Things that the average Joe are up to. Things that people are talking about and interested in. Pretty much, I'm guessing, the most viewed deals. So let me give you an example or two of all this right here. There's a nifty little trend going on out there called the Condom Challenge. This particular video that I'm looking at right here is the Slow-Mo Guys. It was posted 3 days ago, and it's had 3,325,198 views. So 3,325,198 people watched some ignorant individual fill a water up with a condom up with water and have somebody drop it on their head to see if they could get it to stick and hold some water inside there. So I'm looking at a picture of a man with a condom stretched over his face and a bag of water up underneath his chin. This is what our society's come down to. This is why we are in so much trouble as far as society and humanity. It's disgusting. It's just flat out disgusting to see how far society has deteriorated. Now, you got the average Joe out there popping condoms on their head, while you got a ruling class elite running amok up there fighting over a carbon tax deal to so-called save the planet, who in their own hypocrisy are out destroying same said planet. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, some individuals, guys and gals all over the internet, are filling up condoms with water, dropping them on their heads to see if they can get them to stick. How ridiculous. How ludicrous. It's mind-boggling, the ignorance of the average Joe. If you go over there to YouTube and you look on what's trending, you'll find all kinds of craziness. All kinds of propaganda. You know? Video I'm looking at here posted one day ago. Harry Styles talks about his man bun. For those of you that don't know what a bun is, that's when the women put that little nifty hairdo style up on the back of their head there. Looks like the old Princess Leia, except for she's got, look like headphones on her head. Anyway, a man bun. The man puts his head up in a bun like the ladies do. The ladies normally did that to keep their hair off the back of their neck because it was getting hot and it'd be comfortable, so they didn't have to cut their hair. They just put it up in a bun on top of their head. So not only do we have no difference between gender anymore, we don't even, men wearing dresses and wearing carrying purses and now man buns, and it's mind-boggling. It's just beyond ludicrous. So you got controversies out there where men want to be able to use the ladies' bathroom. You got stores that are taking away the whole separation of the children, the boys' toys from the girls' toys, you know, the pink and the blue kind of thing. Boys had their little section and girls had their little section, and they want to make it gender equal so that some little boy or girl who doesn't know whether he's a boy or girl, he or she's a boy or girl, can not be offended by going down the aisle and seeing nothing but boy toys when they want to look at girl toys. Or vice versa. So humanity has been turned and twisted upside down. There's no he or she anymore. It's nuts. It's just so. So the ignorance is just so rampant. It's just hard to comprehend. So you got the supposed president of the free world supposedly standing strong in the face of terrorism, when his number one priority was to rush over to the climate summit and tell everybody we got to save the planet. The same man who gives the orders to drop a bomb on a foreign nation. the same man who sends the military out with depleted uranium to shred up the enemy over there. It's ridiculous. Flat out ridiculous. So, we got a man who supposedly won the Nobel Peace Prize before he ever even done anything peaceful to win the Nobel Peace Prize, who is in charge of the so-called free world, who is sending drones over to bomb a supposed terrorist boogeyman, whether they do or don't exist, or whether they are or are not CIA-funded terrorists, whatever. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, you got women trying to pose like female comic book heroes. You got individuals filling up condoms with water and dropping them on their head, trying to get views all over. They call it the Condom Challenge. Go out there on the internet, you'll find it. We got information about Lady Gaga and Charles Barkley trashes Trump. Iraq, thousands protest Turkish troop deployment in Baghdad. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Deep Red Lips. Oh my. 50 Cent, it's a rapper out there, interrupts interview to clown Rick Ross for only selling 34,000 albums. Need I mention that the 34,000 albums and all the different music out there is about degrading women and robbing banks, I'm going to bust a cap in your butt and... You know, me and my, I ain't even gonna say it, man. If you haven't heard rap music by now, then you're lucky. But it don't stop. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, while all this stuff is going on, you got world leaders out there deciding the fate of all of humanity. You got Hillary Clinton on Donald Trump, late night Seth Meyers. Clinton calls the GOP front runners dangerous from his comment against Muslims. A little bit of divide and conquer, anyone? And if you want to see what's going on over in the parliament, there's a good old deal out there about balls and brawls, a big fight in the Ukraine parliament after opposition MP goes for PM, whatever, the doggone, I can't even pronounce it, Yets in Yuck's crotch. Really? Animal rights activists block Lady Gaga's SUV. Justin Bieber takes over the monologue. Well, at least you got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 trailer out. And you can go to college music video with First Lady Michelle Obama. Or as some people out there claim, first dude, Michael Obama. You want to talk about a lot of craziness. If you can't find it out here on the internet, you ain't paying attention. This week's unnecessary censorship. Once again, we've... bleeped and blurred all week's big TV moments, whether they need it or not. This week, we feature President Obama, Jeb Bush, Donald Trump, and more. Yep, but you can get some Alton Brown reviews on Amazon's dumbest kitchen gadgets. Or, if you're not into the condom challenge, you can go to Gross Soda Challenge with Lily... whatever the heck. Miley Cyrus, BB Talk. making a murder trailer. That's all we need, is more ways to make a murder. Okay, well, you know, if that ain't good enough for you, you can go over there and you can find on the News Be Funny channel, Best News Bloopers 2015. Or you can jump over there to Good Mythical Mornings with Will It Pie Taste Test, where they take a lot of disgusting things and make pies out of it. You want to go find the Ultimate Fight Championship? It's their post-fight press conference. So you can watch people beating each other toothless. Like Conor McGregor knocks out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. But on the good news, X-Men Apocalypse is out. Official trailer, HD. I tell you what, folks. While I'm standing here on the edge of the abyss, I'm like looking into the Matrix and I'm thinking, man, why don't I just turn around and walk away? Why don't I just go the other direction and find some peace? I can't figure out why it is, why even bother trying to reach out to this world and trying to spread a message of peace, hope, and love. Because if what we have to rely on in the standard realm of existence is the average Joe, we're screwed. We're screwed. We are flat out screwed. Average Joe's busy dropping condoms on their head. Condoms full of water on their head. Meanwhile, over there in Paris, they're doing a climate summit that's going to pass international laws to move you one step forward to that whole one world united government under the guise of fighting against terrorism, the war on drugs, the war against women, the war on everything. Have you noticed every time you turn around there's a war against something? They've been fighting these wars against everything forever and a day, and it seems like the more these wars break out, the less your sovereignty matters, the less your freedom makes a difference. It's just some folks out there buying into it. Some folks are out there eating it up. We're gonna get our clean planet. We're gonna save the planet. We're gonna do it for the children's future. When in reality, everything that they're doing is 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt counterproductive towards saving this planet. What happens when a nation decides not to pay a carbon tax? We're going to have to go over there and we're going to have to set them straight. We're going to have to send troops in there to set them straight. We're going to have to bomb their nation. We're going to have to make them pay. And who's going to make that choice? A United Nations tribunal somewhere on this globe is going to say, well, these people over here ain't compliant. Or this individual over here has got his wood-burning stove going. We need to send somebody over there to arrest him. It's crazy. I'm going to throw on a quick tune. See if I can get some of the knights in here.
to fill the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
It Shaz is, right?
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you're interested in joining in on the conversation, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com /superchat.html and you can talk to the Awake crew and the Shaziz crew at the same time, or you can jump over there, multiple different networks. Just jump over there to Shaziz Radio and you can find the links to other networks that you can go over to talk to people, the People Radio or 1800 Online. All the different links are out there, and if you find one that should be up there that ain't up there, post it in the chat room and I'll post it out there on the website. Been honored to be joined by Ed Opperman. He's also a host here on Shaziz Radio and I believe Awake Radio and 1800 Online.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Scottish Sovereign guys. They're on a bunch of stations on Friday night, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, so basically what I started off talking about on today's show was I started off playing a little bit of pod about how they come to this agreement over at the UN Climate Summit, which essentially is world leaders from all over the place coming together to decide the future of the planet. You know, they're going to save the planet. Of course, now keep in mind that this has been going on. They've been trying to get an agreement for like 20 some odd years, and as a scientist myself, I'm like trying to say, well, why does it take 20 years to heat up the planet? See, they've been saying this for well over 20 years, but that's neither here nor there. The scary part about the whole deal is you got a group of basically wealthy elite that they don't necessarily practice what they preach, because they're still flying around in corporate jets and riding around in limousines, you know, and going there talking about reducing the carbon footprint and saving the planet and so on and so forth. But they're trying to get a universal law passed throughout the entirety of the world, which affects everybody, you know. And so, you know, with that said, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash and all of his crews out there dropping water-filled condoms on their head to see if they can get them to stick, you know? And so I'm thinking, you know, if you go over to YouTube and you look on what's trending and you start going down the list of all the things that are trending out there, this world's jacked up, brother. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, we were just saying off the air, you know, it's the start. How old are you?
I'm 50 years old now.
Yeah, I'm 53. And just think, man, in our life, how much things have changed so drastically. In every way, our personal freedoms, our financial freedoms, the weather, the weather, you know, and the centralization of power around the globe. There used to be hope. You know, that maybe we could fight back, you know, and resist and march in the streets and get some kind of change going to the common person, you know? But it seems like that hope is lost.
Well, and there was another question that I posed right after that. You know, sometimes I look out here and I see what's going on the web, you know, there's all kinds of craziness happening. And I tell myself, man, it would just be so much easier for me to just turn my back and walk away. I mean, it's just, it's insanity. You know, I can't deal with the lack of common sense. It drives me flat out insane, you know. Energy-wise or whatever. Here's a prime example. The folks that go out there and they talk about saving the trees, all right? Save the trees. They got the doggone wooden stick with the paper sign on there saying save the trees. You see the what I'm trying to say there?
Hey, how about the whole thing about, remember how they were going to save the trees by giving us plastic bags at the supermarket, and now they went, well, I don't know, we got to turn it all back, do it the other way now.
Yeah, and so on one hand, you're going to clog up the landfills, and on the other hand, you're going to chop down all the trees. So, you know, look, we got everything that we need right now, literally, to build the perfect generators, the perfect self-contained generators. But instead, well, what do? We take and we refine mildly radioactive material into highly refined, really super hot rods, and we boil water with that through pretty much Stone Age plumbing, and then use that steam to turn turbines, which makes electric power. So we're still boiling water, but we're doing it in a manner in which that if something goes awry, such as the plumbing fails, now you got hot radioactive crud spewing out all over the planet, and then people wonder why, you know, we got problems.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because you're a scientist. I've had a couple of questions about these kinds of things, about producing energy. And one is the ocean. You know, you got these tides going in and out, you got these currents, you got this huge amounts of energy in the ocean. Now, there's really nothing right now that harnesses that energy, is there?
No. There's a couple little small groups that have put these together, some little paddle wheel kind of deals that as the waves come in and out, they'll do that. And it's actually some offshore wind farms, but outside of that, no, there really ain't nothing going on.
Yeah, just a minute, because you got those transatlantic currents. You know, that stuff was forget it. Who knows what you can do with that? Another thing that I've thought of this since I was a kid. Not all these highways, but the cars driving over the highways. Now, wouldn't there be some way to put like a magnet under there that would rotate as the cars pass over it that could generate a turbine?
Well, yeah, there's tons and tons of different things that could be done. See, people, when I talk about free energy, that people look at me all cross-eyed because they've been indoctrinated in school to believe there's a set laws of physics and you can only do that. Well, even without defined laws of physics, do you realize how many thermal vents are around this world?
Yeah,
there's volcanoes around this world. There are certain places on this planet that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, they have lightning strikes all day long. There's wind blowing somewhere on this planet. There is, you can use Earth batteries. There's hydroelectrics that could be used. And all of these could be designed in a form that would, let's say, the sun's always shining over here on this section, right? At least majority of the time. Well, you start piping energy from that over to here, and we'll send some of our wind energy over that way to these folks over here. But we could literally build a totally self-contained power grid structure that would not have to burn any fossil fuels. And what fossil fuels, that's a big misnomer anyway, but I won't get into that. It's just... The whole simple fact is, on one hand, they tell you about we're going to get rid of carbon emissions, right? But then on the other hand, all existing technologies out there that could be used are not being used to their fullest extent. It plain and simple, they still want to sell oil. That's it. You know,
although I did see Richard Branson in an interview just this weekend, and... Yeah, I don't have the kind of scientific interest that you have, so I kind of gloss over that kind of stuff. And he was saying about how we have to get away from fossil fuels and the coal and the oil. And he was saying that these companies have the oil that they haven't even pumped up yet, the oil that's still in the ground and the coal that's still in the ground. That's already on their books valuing their companies. And he seemed convinced, though, that we were going to be getting away from that in the very near future.
Well, the reality of it is, we will never, ever, ever, ever run out of fossil fuels. The whole so-called fossil fuels is a scam in itself. There is no physical possible way that this planet will ever run out of oil. And the reason being is, there are... I got an echo, Muddy.
That's not me, right?
No, that's Muddy. There are carbon-based plants, there's carbon-based people, there's carbon-based... all life out here is carbon-based. And the process to create oil can be replicated within 15 minutes in your garage. All right, there are people over in Europe that are taking plastic bottles and refining it into petrol. All right, so there's no physical way that we can run out of oil. But if the whole thing is to get off of the oil, we've already got technology to do so. Stan Myers was driving around in a dune buggy back in 1979 using water for fuel, and the process that he was doing it wasn't even as high-tech as you'd like to think. It was taking water, turning it into a really fine mist, hitting it with a high-frequency radio wave, and igniting it in the combustion chamber on demand. He was doing it in 1979. And you know what you get when you burn water?
Steam.
Yeah, you get water out the other side. So, the whole thing, we got to save the planet, the whole we got an energy crisis thing, it's a power trip is all it is. Why are we over in the Middle East? Because somebody got to get control of who controls the oil over there. That's the only reason why we're there. You know? We're on the petrol dollar. We're not on the gold standard anymore. And so we gotta make sure that those guys ain't selling oil too cheap or whatever so that they don't ruin our economy. Am I wrong?
No, let me tell you something, okay? I'm a private investigator. It's what I do for a living. And way, way back, oh my God, it was like in the 80s. I had gotten this job. We had to locate people who still owned mineral rights, the oil and gas rights, and it was in Pennsylvania. And I found out that there was huge deposits. There's natural gas, there's coal, and there's even oil in the ground in Pennsylvania, like more than Texas. And I said to them, and I had to locate the people that own these rights, and then, you know, they were paying a lot of money, too, to find these people. And now the thing is that I said to them, well, how come we're not pumping the oil and stuff out of there? And it says, well, it's not worth it to pump the oil. The oil has to reach a certain amount. I think they said like $60 a barrel. And then it's worth it to pump the oil. Otherwise, it's not worth it to pump. The oil's been up to $90 a barrel, and they still aren't pumping that oil. You know?
Well, that ought to tell you something.
Stuck in my head. Now, the thing that struck me, okay, is that every time a bomb goes off in the Middle East, that raises the value of oil that's pumped here in Oklahoma and Texas without any change to the cost of pumping it. The cost is exactly the same, but the value increases dramatically just because a bomb goes off over there, okay? No, if I was in the oil business, I'd have bombs going off over there every day.
I know, and that's easy to do. All you got to do is go over there and stir the pot and get everybody riled up at each other. You know, they call it destabilization. You know, they'll send agitators into certain areas and get everybody mad at each other. Hey, look, he looked at you cross-eyed. Go over and smack him, you know. And then around the corner, you got Jerry Springer on the other side telling him pretty much the same thing, you know.
And that's exactly what General Wesley Clark said, you know. That was our U.S. policy. This is the U.S. policy that's been going on since Bill Clinton in the Middle East, is to cause destabilization and to cause chaos and anarchy over there. And he predicted we'd be in war in seven countries over there, way back Clinton days.
Oh, I believe it. And to make things worse, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash and gang is over there doing the Jerry Springer chant while dropping condoms full of water on their head. And let me read out the number on this video down here. It was, where the heck is this thing at? It was over 3 million views. Let me see where it's at. I'm going down there. Where is it at? Where is it? There it is. 3,325,198 people watched the condom challenge. Just one video alone.
I thought you were kidding about that.
No, I'm serious.
Joke, okay.
They're literally filling up condoms with water, dropping them on their head, trying to get them to stick to their face with a bag of water underneath there. And that's just one example of the ludicrousy, the ignorance, the total lack of... I don't even know what to... For a brain like mine, it hurts to see stuff like that. I can't contemplate that kind of stupidity. You know, we got people over there on a United Nations Council who are determining the fate of all mankind. The same individuals who supposedly care about the children and all this that send drones over there to bomb, you know, what, who, the children? Hey, collateral damage. Sorry, it happens. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Ain't that bomb putting up some crud in the air?
Put some global warming up in the air.
Yeah, and when you're shooting around depleted uranium, because it's more dense than lead, you can shoot depleted uranium, it's armor-piercing. Well, don't you think that maybe that depleted uranium, if it's as dangerous as the government says it is, maybe shouldn't be shot around, laying, it's scattered everywhere now. How many thousands of rounds of ammunition went off every 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's terrifying, you know?
So, essentially, you got major corporations that go into third world countries, pollute up their environment because they're not under the regulations, bring all that goodies back over here to the United States, sell them at Walmart for 300% markup, and make a heck of a killing. You got the government out there taxing you for everything under the doggone sun, and now telling you they're going to tax you to breathe, essentially because CO2 comes out your mouth, and yeah, regardless that it's good for plant life and stuff like that, it's now classified by the EPA as a toxic waste product. And so now you got the government out there saying, we got to save the planet because the planet's heating up. And I was shoveling 20 inches of snow, 20 inches of global warming off my freaking driveway while they're talking about how the planet's heating up. And I'm saying, send some of that over here.
You know what? Let me ask both of you guys a question. Because money's on the line, too. Is that you got this, people have this theory about geoengineering and that we have weather weapons, you know, and you see a lot of evidence of that. Even there's a, you know...
It's true!
Right. But then what is it, then, that we have this meeting now with 50 different countries over there, and, like, a lot of people there, you know, meeting, they're talking about something, you know? Now, if we didn't have this kind of weather control, wouldn't we be able to solve the global warming problems like that, you know?
The problem is...
It's not weather. It's put off this way. It's called weather warfare.
Yeah, see, the problem...
That's the terminology they use, and that's the thing. Anything that you invent, you can invent a TV, and they'll use it differently.
Right.
You can invent, I mean, just about everything, even our computer. And the web, it's invented for us, but it's not used that way by the government. The government uses it in a negative aspect. Anything you invent will be used differently. And if you invent a free energy device and they find out that they could use it for war, it'll no longer be available to you.
And the problem, to answer your question, is that the whole, you know, we got these technologies that can literally ionize the atmosphere and shift the jet stream and so on and so forth. These technologies really do exist, all right? The problem is this. If you nature's already got a plan going on. Nature's already got things worked out. It's already balanced out. Well, when you tamper with nature, There's a like a domino effect that's going to happen around, because you just shifted a section of the heat that should have been over here, now is over here. So you're getting drought over here, but you're getting rain over there. And then when that domino starts to fall, it doesn't just affect the area where they're trying to modify the weather at that moment. It's a continuous domino that will circumvent the entire globe. You see what I'm saying? And so, to tamper with weather without having a full understanding of how exactly nature has this all planned out, you know, like when the water evaporates, nature gets cold up at the top, and so it cools down and it falls back in the form of water, which causes a cooling process around the planet and so on and so forth. Well, if you throw that out of whack, now you got one section that's kind of drying up because the water keeps evaporating because it's warm over on that side. But it's flooding over on the other side. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. So you think that... But the thing, my question is, though, is you got all these guys over there right now. Now, are they openly discussing this? Hey, you know, you Americans got these weather machines. You messing up, you know, our weather. You know, cut it out.
I gotta find the document. I had some links a while back to document. There is actually a treaty that has been signed that says that you can test the weather on your side, geoengineer on your side, but you can't use it as a weapon towards. Back in Vietnam, literally, they were seeding the clouds with silver iodide to cause it to rain, because if it's muddier than heck outside, it's hard to move around. Not only that, they were trying to kill off all the foliage around her so that nobody would be able to hide in the weeds, and so that's where the whole Agent Orange thing came around, because they were literally crop dusting and killing off the plants so that there wouldn't be no place for the enemy to hide. These are proven in history that they did this. You see what I mean?
I just what you mean, yeah. But
see, I might be a little shaky on this. But they blame warfare on religion. They'll blame all sorts of things. They'll say, okay, well, the warfare over here was to relieve people and help them get out from underneath Saddam Hussein. Let me put it this way. Every war pretty much is about oil. And so what are they using this weather warfare, these weather Tesla coils, let's put it that way, and arrays, HARP, what are they using it for now? They're trying to melt the glaciers up there in the upper part of Canada on the right side. They're trying to melt those to get the oil out of that, too. It's just pretty much everything you see, if you can sit there and find some way that the closest way that you can link oil to the problem, you'll find the answer in who did it.
One second, Chef, because I just remembered something about Richard Branson that you know, and it's too early for me here, so I got a grab it quick.
Oh, you're fine.
The thing is that he was saying that's the reason why Shell pulled back those ships in Portland, Oregon, and didn't continue ahead to the Antarctic. Remember that whole thing? They just had a big activism thing there, where the ship was trying to leave ports in Portland. All these activists, they hung from the bridge, they dangled from the bridge on ropes to stop them, and they gave up their whole program of going to the Antarctic and breaking those ice and drilling for oil up there. And he was saying it's because of part of what's going on now over there in Paris, this discussion they're having.
Well, the fact of the matter remains, if you follow history back and you look everywhere from the fuel industry to the electrical industry to the food industry, there were literal wars between giants out there trying to become the biggest monopoly, so to speak. And that process hasn't stopped today. Even though there is laws against having a monopoly, it's as simple as you chop your own company up and put different names on it. Now you have multiple companies, but you're still a monopoly. You still own the majority of the media, or you still own the majority of the fuel, and all these people out there who have a product to sell, such as I keep saying this all the time, you can't sell no drugs if there isn't nobody sick. So where would be the motive in somebody wanting to make sure that people don't get healthy? All right, well, I want to sell my drugs. All right, well, where would be the motive in making sure that people are out there wanting to go to war together all the time? I want to sell my guns and my ammunition. It is the military-industrial complex, and the whole medical deal behind there is a money-making machine, and the way that they make money is to keep everything rolling on the other side. Hey, you get these people fighting over here, you're going to sell a lot of guns and ammunition until they kill each other off. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Hey, you want to know something else? Everyone always talks about Operation Paperclip. How we brought over the Nazis after World War II to run the space program.
Yeah.
I had a guest on my show, and I'll tell you who she is off the air, okay? Because her family name is a big fan, famous name. And she told me that her father was involved in the same program of bringing Nazis over to America, and they're the ones that started putting drug administration.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
The name later. I'm very, very convinced. She told me. She feeds me stuff all the time. I'm very convinced with this source.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me none in the least. I'm telling you, the whole thing is just, it's mind-boggling. That's why I say I think I added Thomas to the wrong doggone room. He was trying to get in here. Buddy, can you try to add Thomas in here?
Sure, why not?
All right. Well, anyway, look. My point is this: if if we got people out there who are basically treading on everyone's national sovereignty or freedoms or whatever, doggone it, what the heck is going on here? I'm gonna have to do it myself because something went awry. Anyway, if we got a group of elite out there in this world who are treading on everyone's national sovereignty, trying to bring us under the whole, you know, you've heard it, the conspiracy, one world government, all right? Well, I would think that the average Joe should be a little bit more attentive to what's really going on in the world as opposed to dropping condoms full of water on their head. Am I wrong?
Well, it's starting to look pretty desirable to me just to go out and drop some condoms on my head. You know, hey, listen, you know, we're all in this together. You know, we're all trying to make people aware and stuff. And it does become very tiring, you know.
Like I said earlier, sometimes I feel like I want to get up, I want to turn my back away, and I just want to walk away from the entire deal. But then I think about this. I think if there is not some voices of reason shouting into the abyss that we call the Matrix or the Internet or whatever, then it's kind of like if you got a whole police station and the majority of them are all bad cops. If you ain't got no good cops in that mix, then they're all bad cops. That kind of thought process there. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. You know what? Man, we all are, you know, trying to, I guess, bring about truth, you know, and bring out awareness and truth and stuff. Something I've been doing lately, I did it all day yesterday long. And you guys probably have this going on in your cities where you live as well, is that the high schools have these forensic debating programs, contests, and they're huge, like 1,000 kids. Yesterday was 1,000 kids at this thing. There was 80 different debates going on at one time. And you can go there, volunteer, be a judge, you know? And you get to meet these kids. They're really, really smart kids. When I, for the first time yesterday, I judged like the senior varsity team. You know, these two young women, 18 years old, brilliant. They're like lawyers, like really good lawyers. You know, giving their little speeches and they're arguing back and forth and cross-examining. And so you get to deal with the youth. You know, it's a volunteer position. Anybody can do it. Some of the things you hear these kids say, especially the younger ones, is really, really frightening. We had one kid yesterday was saying that the Constitution doesn't matter anymore because it was written so long ago and really has no bearing on our life today. But the Founding Fathers, really, they're from so long ago, it doesn't. Why should we listen to what they have to say?
Well,
you know, really intense stuff. So you can kind of set them straight, you know, nicely, you know, without, you know, a bearing. But also, too, you see a lot of hope for our future, too. There's a lot of kids out there that are very into social justice and resistance and stuff as well.
Well, it's ironic that you mentioned the Constitution because right in front of me, I'm sitting in front of me is a copy of the United States Constitution in big bold letters that says, "We the People." And the way that they're teaching the upcoming generation that all the Founding Fathers were terrorists and they were slave owners and this and that and going down the line indoctrinating them to believe that is a worthless document that's out of date and all this kind of stuff there. Those individuals being taught that don't realize that is the only thing standing in between you and total tyranny. Now, the First Amendment giving you the freedom of speech, the Second Amendment giving you the right to keep and bear arms, those weren't put there to go out duck hunting and be able to, say what you want to say, just to be a jerk or anything like that. Those were put there so that you would have the opportunity in the event that your government got so far out of hand that you couldn't stand it anymore, that you had some sort of recourse. And that document, even as much as people would pick that document apart and talk about how, well, you know, it's worthless. You don't need a document between you and the government. But anytime you decide you're going to have a set of representatives represent you and your life and your children's future and so on and your freedoms or your sovereignty, you need some sort of contract with this entity that you're going to send out there to represent your views. And when they don't do what it is that they said, then you have some sort of recourse, because this is essentially like a contract between you and the government saying this is what we will stand and this is what we'll not stand for. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, you know. And I tell you, our democratic system, you know, it really is well thought out and well designed, you know. And take corruption out of it. Because no matter what we do, no matter who we change, if we still keep putting the same crooks in charge over and over, even if you have a revolution, you know, if we keep putting the same crooks in charge.
Yeah.
You know, that's the trick. You gotta, you know, wisen up here, man.
At the very least,
the answer to 1984 is 1776.
Yeah,
it's simple math.
At the very least,
actually, let's hold on to go back to that whole. The Constitution is a worthless piece of paper. Okay, the people who are purporting that, the reason these kids are listening to them is because, to some degree, to them, it has become a worthless document because we are not updating it as fast as the world is growing. It was the thing that makes it useful is because it's designed to be flexible and be updated and change with the times. That's why we have amendments. But we have let these technologies that these politicians and corporations are using get out of hand, and we haven't been using those same technologies to create the checks and balances necessary to keep them from getting out of hand. They're using it against us instead of us using it against them to make sure they toe the line.
Well, that was the point I wanted to bring up, was the checks and balances. See, worst case scenario in this whole entire system, and we're a representative republic, we're not a democracy, we've never been a democracy. When you have the separations of power, such as the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of government, that is so that one don't get completely out of hand. You know, one can stop the other. And as long as there's a continuous debate amongst them, and you got the people paying attention to what's going on, then you have some sort of chance of keeping this experiment that we call the United States of America moving forward, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
The problem, though, is how can you keep an eye on things when there are so many ways to hide things, and they have used those technologies to hide things instead of us realizing, hey, we can also use them to expose them. We've stopped doing that. We're not pushing the envelope. Instead, we let them tell us they need to let them use that technology to expose us. Aren't we the ones that are private citizens?
And
they're public officials?
Thomas, that's where we come in. All right, as much as everybody would like to think that we're completely hopeless, these little shows that we do out here on all these networks are growing by leaps and bounds. The alternative media is basically smoking the mainstream media as far as how many people are actually paying attention to what's going on. But there is an information war out there on both sides of the fence that is mind-boggling. There is so much propaganda, so much disinformation, so many lies and craziness going on. Just in the conspiracy realm alone, you can go down a rabbit hole that is so deep, you can get lost.
Here's what I see. The Constitution was made where it can be updated. The problem is, not that it hasn't been updated, because it's fine and it was set mainly to keep things from happening. Hold on here now. It was basically meant to keep tyranny from taking over. The only problem is, instead of updating it, which they can, and it would have still worked and no problem, they're trying to outdate it instead and pass laws against it and take our rights away.
That's the truth, and instead of upholding it, because every single person out there in the executive branch, legislative, and the judicial branch raise their hand and swear an oath to uphold that deal, and immediately, right out of the gate, they start breaking that doggone deal that they just made with the people. I'm going
there. Learn how to do that through business.
Yeah. You know, the police departments out there, you know, they aren't It's not the serve and protect police departments like you had back in the old days that I can remember. Now they're essentially armed revenue generators for the state. They're there to enforce the law, yeah. But where does it go between enforcing the law to just generating revenue to, you know, build up the city? If you understand what I'm trying to say, it's more actually
you should look at when do the laws that you see them making are made to, that make sense to protect the public, and when are they're made to make dollars and to exploit the public.
Well, you got a war on drugs, you got a war on terror, you got a war on just about everything under the sun, and these
right.
wars just never
exactly.
seem
and,
to
and
end.
All of them, if you look at them the way they tried to get you to look at them, the war on drugs was to end drug use and drug dependency and whatnot, then it's failed. It's failed miserably, because not only has drug use gone up, but the drugs have gotten harder and stronger.
Yeah.
Because they've concentrated them in order to put them in smaller packages to make it harder to catch them while they're basically transporting it from place to place, and people are still doing the same amount, even though the stuff has gotten more concentrated. But the fact is, it succeeded, because the war on drugs was never meant to stop drug use. It was meant to generate profit.
You know what I would be?
And they've been making more money than you can ever imagine.
You know what I would be interested to see is a study that had to do with, you know, how, okay, United States has an economy, right? Well, the black market has an economy as well. There's a whole lot of money being changing hands under the table, just as much as on the table. I would like to see, I would venture to bet that the black market's economy is thriving heavy duty right now, because you got everything from drugs to guns to ammunition to sex trades and so on and so forth, of things that, you know, if people want it, there's a place to get it, that kind of deal.
You got a lot of stuff floating around on that black market too that they've made illegal for people to have that should never have been illegal.
Well, you know,
if you outlaw guns so that people can't defend themselves, where do you think people are going to go to get guns whenever it's time that they have to actually overthrow the politicians that are running rampant, destroying our government, and getting so tyrannical that they're throwing people in concentration camps? What do you think?
Illegals.
How many of you guys have seen that TV series called Jericho? How many of y'all have seen that?
Not me.
If you haven't watched that, and you want some sort of view into what the future could be like if we keep heading down the same path that we're going down now, go watch that video series, and it will disturb you to your very core, man. If you see right now on trending on YouTube that people are dropping water-filled condoms on their head, you think that these same individuals wouldn't do whatever it is if they were faced with a situation where they were going to starve, or maybe their children was going to do without something, that they wouldn't be violent? Just the people alone. Never mind the fact that everybody and his brother has guns, which, you know, in this day and age, if you ain't got one, you're pretty much stupid. But The governments, the crooked factions of the governments, the corporations out there, and the people, that the video series called Jericho, it portrayed it out exactly to the T of exactly what would come down if all heck ever broke loose in this country. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to live in a world like that at all. You know, and that's why I'm out here shouting all four points of the compass, saying, look, can't we all just get along? Let's use some common sense. You know, you want free energy? Well, let's work on that, all right? Before World War III starts, let's stop it before it gets there. That kind of deal. You see what I mean?
I don't see where they try to fight free energy. Where mainly what their deal is, they're centralized, you know, the dollar and everything on energy. Everything's energy, energy, energy. They bite over oil. They bite over this.
Well, they don't call it the petrodollar for nothing.
What's the difference between free energy and energy? Can you tax it? Can you monetize it? That's it.
They don't call it the petrodollar for nothing. you know?
That's right.
If we have all the Thomas, we've sat here on the Mad Science Show and on the Knights of the Round Table, and we've listed out tons and tons of old technology, new technology, research that's ongoing, of all kinds of different things, that if people was to take all these things in conjunction with each other, each one of them is a piece of the puzzle, and this so-called bogus energy crisis could be solved. We don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis. And if these guys are out there on one hand complaining about save the trees with their little wooden sign, then that's kind of counterproductive, I would think, you know?
Well, as I say, as far as the war on energy, a war over energy is going concerned, you know, that's all about who owns the source of the energy. If you make it available to everyone, the source, then that war would come to an end real quickly. Just by economic standard, there would be no chance. Like the people who are basically charging what they charge because they know they're the only ones sitting on it. If suddenly they weren't the only ones sitting on it anymore, people could grow it in their backyard, it would end their monopoly. And, you know, there'd be no power in what they have to do. And I can guarantee you, if we had a grassroots movement that grew fast enough using that technology that I was talking about where we use kudzu, where we use kudzu to make alcohol and then turn the alcohol into polyethylene and cook the polyethylene using concentrated sunlight with mirrors into crude oil so that people could basically make whatever compounds they need, whether they're trying to make the several compounds needed for making gasoline, there's 13, or if they're trying to make different plastics like styrene or polypropylene, or, you know, they want to just stop without, you know, even making the crude oil and just use the high density polyethylene that they made.
That would be for a fraction of the cost too, wouldn't you?
Right. Well, you're talking about if my calculations are right, in a place that doesn't have a hard freeze during the winter, I mean has a hard freeze during the winter but has a really long growing season, like say Oklahoma, or any place that's basically along that same lateral movement and isn't, you know, mountainous, you're looking at about 5,000 gallons of crude that you can pull off of the acreage a year.
Well, the solution that I see right now, and there's only one possible solution, is for if these guys got and gals out there got enough energy to go out there and protest the same people who's going to pepper spray them and beat them toothless and haul them off to jail, why shouldn't they take that same energy and go out there and find some guys that have information such as what you got and back them to the hilt for that research, you know?
Right. And it doesn't take money to do any of this stuff like people think. We need some place where somebody's got some land that's hopefully on unincorporated land. A good place would be Texas to do this at, you know, for doing the processing. For the growth, you can grow it in a separate location and load it all up onto a truck and haul it. It's just basically vegetable matter, right? In fact, you don't even have to have a place to grow it. If you can get around to go pick it up, it's growing all over the South, destroying telephone poles, tearing down houses. It grows so fast, it will, if they don't drive by once every, I think it's like once every 6 months, and spray it down with diesel fuel, because they have no poison that won't kill all their soy crops and everything else for miles in all directions. It's so similar. The stuff will literally grow up around the power lines, and not only will it tear the power lines down, but it'll turn around and knock the telephone poles down and kill all the trees in the area.
Yeah.
It grows over the trees and just chokes them out, and then tears down the limbs from the sheer weight of the kudzu growing all over it. It's so fast.
Yeah, that's and what wild grapevines do.
Well, and there's a group already in Tennessee that proved that you can make ethanol alcohol out of this stuff using yeast. You can brew it, cook it down, or digest it down the same way you do corn or potatoes to make alcohol for drinking.
Well,
they call it kudzol. If anybody wants to look that up, the next step is not that hard. Look up how to make polyethylene. Look up how to make ethylene gas out of alcohol, and then look up how to make polyethylene out of ethylene gas. There's a Japanese guy that made a device for turning plastic into into crude oil, raw crude oil. It's the purest, cleanest crude oil you're ever going to find. You will never find it that clean in nature. The least destructive, the most productive that you will ever find. So you're talking about a mechanism, the kudzu, that strips carbon emissions right out of the air and turns it straight into a compound that can be used to make crude oil, that when you burn it and blow it out your tailpipe, that plant will turn around and soak that right back up. You end up with a net neutral carbon footprint. You're using just as much carbon as you're absorbing out of the air on a continuous basis, and that plant is a fast, volatile-moving plant that will actually provide the supply that you need.
Well, say
if you now, like I said, it's destructive, so you don't want it in a place if you don't already have it that doesn't have a hard freeze once a year. If you got a hard freeze once a year, it'll kill everything, the roots and all. So you don't have to worry about it spreading, getting out of control, getting into your environment, and basically, wandering around out in the wild.
So right there, just in that one example alone, and that doesn't even scratch the surface of all the possibilities out there. Just in the example that you just gave, there isn't no reason to be over there fighting over who's got control of the oil. We're sending our young men and women over to a foreign nation to fight with them under the so-called war on terror, when in reality, it ain't got nothing to do with terror. We wouldn't even be over there even messing with those. Those folks could be over there killing each other off all day long, every day. They've been fighting for thousands of years over whatever they want to fight about. But in the meantime, the only reason why we're over there is because they got a whole lot of oil, and they somebody has to be in control to make sure that somebody don't get more control so that we can get the prices right at the gas pump, when in reality, there never was no oil shortage to begin with, period. So all those people that we sent over there to fight for freedom and all that, it was a scam. They all died in vain for nothing. It didn't have to be.
Let me put this forward. We had all the oil spill off in the Gulf and everything. They said, well, it wasn't worth it. You know, you could take these rollers and roll them backwards and put a squeegee on the end of it, and the crude oil would have wound up in a container inside the boat. Now they'd have to do is take a little bit of the water out. But they can't do that because that was too expensive. They spent more money trying to clean it up afterward rather than they could have just pulled it up and harvested it right off the top of the water, because it would have stuck to the roller, came down the squeegee to the boat and stuff like that. And here we go. We go to war for the oil and stuff like that. Didn't we? How much does war cost today?
How much
one of those bombs cost that they drop?
How environmentally friendly? How environmentally friendly is war? That's the question.
So we're going to look at somebody who makes free energy. Well, the problem is it puts money in the wrong pocket. Well, let's put it this way. They say they got these programs to revive the economy. I don't think so. They got Agenda 21. Number two, they've got enough money because we don't have it. If we don't have it, that means they have it. It has to be somewhere. And so, we get, just because they don't have control over it, doesn't mean anything. I think we could use a break, and I think we could use a little money in our pockets. Just because it doesn't all go to them is the whole thing that all this crap is all about.
Hey, that's ironic. It just hit me like a ton of bricks back during the whole we got to do the bank bailout thing. I got to thinking about how much money they actually gave to the people that on the bank bailouts, too big to fail banks. And I said to myself, for what they spent on all these banks to bail all these banks out, they could have give, at the very least, maybe $100,000 to every single individual in the United States to go out shopping, right? Now, wouldn't that have stimulated the economy and got the banks a-flowing? But instead...
Actually, hold on. 99% of the failure was because of the 2008 housing crash.
Well, yeah, I was about to get to that.
Don't even give them to that money to go bail to go shopping. Give them that money to go out there and pay off their house loan. They gave the money to the bank. Why not give it to the homeowners and in the form of a check that's a payment to pay off their house, and then the people get to keep their houses, the banks get to keep their banks, and everybody wins.
Instead,
they gave them the bailout and then still let them cake all the houses, so they got to eat their cake and eat ours too.
Yeah, well, that's the point I was trying to make. I was about to get to that. Not only did the banks get bailed out by taxpayer dollars, they got to keep the same houses that they foreclosed on, and they got to resell those houses to somebody else, so they got paid not once, but twice, but three times or more.
And raised more debt for the people.
Now, where's the common sense in all that? Seriously. All right, where is the representation? These folks up here who are supposedly senators and congressmen, they must deliberately pick the wealthy, stupidest people that they could finally get up there. Somebody who will just go along to get along. Somebody who, like Nancy Pelosi, coming out and saying something ignorant like, "Well, we gotta pass this bill to find out what's in it." Really? That's gonna be a law. Maybe you ought to read it before you pass it. Maybe it says that because your name is Nancy Pelosi that you're already a felon.
If somebody holds a gun to your head and makes you sign a contract without letting you read it, that's automatically a null and void contract.
Well,
isn't that the same thing as Obamacare? You got to vote on it to find out what's in it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, yeah, because they made all kinds of changes to it after you wrote it up and inserted a bunch of nonsense in it. If they had let everybody see what was going on with every step of that process and let the people vote on it using the internet, we would have made sure that there wasn't any nonsense in it, and it would have been something that would actually help to stimulate the economy by getting the country healthy again, so that we can actually be productive and start making stuff, so that we can start selling American to the rest of the world instead of letting them buy America, the continent itself, right out from underneath our feet, in order to balance our GDP from buying Chinese goods and Taiwanese goods and all this other stuff, you know?
That's why they took all the heirloom seeds and put them down in their mass bunkers that they plan on being in, and feed us the 5% nutrition of GMO food and all that stuff, because they aren't concerned about America's health.
Nope.
Yeah, but see, guys,
when they're sick, they can't fight back.
On a good note,
that's why
though,
they don't want the free energy either, because it ruins the value of that. It ruins the value of that overprinted stuff that they call the petrodollar.
Yeah, hey guys, on a good note though, on a positive uplifting note, alright, Gavin and Dan have witnessed many on the internet doing the condom challenge, but never has it ever been so slow motion. Alright, so they was able to capture in slow motion a man putting a condom full of water, dropping it on somebody's head and seeing if they can get it to stick.
Have they been successful at all on that?
Yeah! They're too successful. 325,198 people watch this stupidity. While off on the other side, the federal governments and all the representation of all the world leaders are over there deciding the fate of all humanity under a so-called climate change, false science, a means by which not only to lie and steal from people, I mean flat out steal. The whole global warming / climate change debacle is nothing more than flat out theft. And now they are going to literally force it in your face, just like they did with the whole doggone Obamacare debacle, the war on terror, the war on drugs. You didn't have no choice about it. They just did it. And all along, what's the people doing out there? We the people, what are we doing? They're out there throwing condoms full of water on their head. Alright? And then they're going to sit around and complain because of something that they didn't like. They weren't paying attention. They go over there, they're going to vote for the red team, or they're going to vote for the blue team. Did they ask the question, hey, this guy's been in office for 40 years. I wonder, what's his track record?
Next time I'll vote Democrat. Next time I'll vote Republican.
Neocon.
You know, I'm guessing
no one's seen the March of Tyranny cartoon or comic.
I hate to get so wound up.
That explains it perfectly. You know?
I hate to get so wound up, but it's just the fact that, you know, if there's really seriously people in this world starving to death, all right, if there are people in third world countries who need food and water, but yet we can't get over there and resolve this after at least 30 or 40 years worth of commercials saying feed the homeless, shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, help the sick and the needy. If we got people in this world that are really in that dire of need, why are we wasting trillions and trillions of dollars over on wars and all this crap like this global warming slash? What are they going to do with the tax money? All right? Has any one of you three ever drove down the road and busted a good rim and blew out your tire on one of the public roads? Anybody?
Yeah. What? Yeah, you keep on driving to get the tire off easier.
Yeah, my tax dollars put that chuck hole there for you, man.
Thank you.
That's the common sense of it. So what do you think, Ed? You think we're insane over here or what?
You know, it's funny, when they had that stimulus package, the Obama stimulus package here in Nevada, they were actually repaving roads that were perfectly fine, you know? And it said right out in the open, it says, well, yeah, we got to use up that money before, you know, we got to use up it a certain amount of time, otherwise we're not going to have it anymore.
Right, if you don't use up all the money, then you can't ask for it again.
And another thing, it was on the highway, they had these big metal horses, like this pieces of artwork on the side of the road. They just threw the money away. Hey, real quick, about the war on drugs, okay? And speaking of YouTube, if you go on the Ed Opperman YouTube channel, I did a couple of shows. One is with John Potash, and he's the author of the book Drugs Used as a Weapon Against Us. And he goes into the whole history of drugs and you know, how the CIA's behind the drugs and stuff like that. Big banks, BCCI, and all that kind of stuff. And another show is with Daniel Hopsicker. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's only done a couple of interviews in the past 13 years, and thank God he's done two with me. Great work. He's from the Mad Cow Morning News, and he did all that work about the flight schools down there in Florida that the 9/11 hijackers were attending these schools, and there'd be massive drug dealing, huge amounts of drug dealing going on in those airports. Including by Rudy Decker, the guy who owned the flight schools. So he's done great, great, great work. And as a matter of fact, he just did a piece just recently on Mad Cow Morning News. Check it out. About the actor Vince Vaughn from Swingers. That guy, his parents are huge drug money launderers. They have a special bank that they all on the drug money, and you could, and he's very, very well. The guy should have a Pulitzer Prize. The guy does incredible work. So a couple of shows you can look up there on the Ed Opperman YouTube channel.
Cool.
Well, you know what? It's like a free for all out here, man. It's like if you want to talk about a whole bunch of people running around like chickens with their head cut off, all you got to do is talk about what's going on out there in the general public. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash is out there cleaning out the cookie jar, so to speak. These guys are supposed to be good caretakers of your money. You know, they want to be thrifty. If you go back and look at some of the documents that the government, after you get the whole government to release documents under the Freedom of Information, you'll find out how much they pay for a hammer or a wrench or whatever like that. And then you just got to saying that they were paving roads that didn't even need to be paved. Why not take that doggone money and go over and pave a road that did need paved? You know? Government waste and stupidity, that's one thing. But if the people down at the bottom ain't watching what's going on, you're going to get robbed blind, plain and simple, because essentially the fox is already in the hen house, you know? It's just a matter of time before you're the one, you know? I keep saying this about me and Muddy and maybe Thomas and you, Ed. We're all standing outside the cave, and we're listening to this wolf over there tell all the sheep, hey, you know, y'all come on inside and we'll have some dinner, you know? And so everybody's like, hey, well, you know, I'm kind of hungry. Let's go on inside this cave with the wolf. He seemed like a nice folk right there. And all of us is standing back saying, you know, well, hold on a second. You might not want to go on up in that cave, because he did invite us into dinner. That was nice and all, but he didn't really necessarily point out what was on the menu. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
to serve man.
Yeah.
Go on that ship. It's a cookbook.
You know, we cut off on the whole thing about the Constitution because I was talking about those kids at the debate. Another couple of things that these kids say that you might find interesting. One is that they all, the majority, think it's okay for you and I to be searched without a warrant if the cops are looking for drugs or to expose some kind of a crime. And one kid was so extreme, he was saying that, just like matter-of-factly, like, there was nothing wrong with it, that it's okay, racial profiling is okay. And it's okay for the cops to pull over more black people than white people because, well, they're all up to something. They're all doing something. You know? And the other thing was, well, it's such a small percentage of people who are having their rights taken away that it really doesn't matter. So fascinating stuff. I really would encourage people to get involved in forensic debating teams. It's on the one hand, it's really encouraging, you know, because you see these brilliant kids. But on the other hand, too, you hear some of the undercurrent of what the kids are learning these days and what they're being brainwashed with.
Well, I would love to get up there on one of them climate debates just to listen to all the craziness on there, even though this stuff gives me a headache, because I sat down and talked to a kid one time about the girl started telling me about the global warming and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, yeah, do you understand the science behind that? And then I started explaining to the basic science of CO2, you know, how it's heavier than oxygen and how's it magically making it up there where oxygen can't go and this and that. But you know, the indoctrination was so thick, no matter what I said, I was wrong, period. That ain't what my teacher said. That ain't what I learned, you know. They didn't want to hear it. It's almost like some sort of crazy cult leader freaking, spiritual movements. You know, being one with nature, get your whole third eye on, and all that kind of stuff.
I hear you, man. Oh, and any kind of mention of Jesus or anything like that. You can't talk about any kind of Christianity in school these days.
Oh, yeah.
Every other religion is fine.
What happened? I say before Obama came in, you know, it was help Israel and Israel help us. But over, you know, since Obama's been in there and everything's turning to Muslim, this and that, Christianity seems to be a subject of fighting words now. What happened?
Good question. You know, something that you remember when we used to watch every Christmas, you'd watch It's a Wonderful Life? You know?
Yeah.
Remember how Mr. Potter used to be the bad guy? What happened?
He's a good guy now, huh? Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is, and every time we go down this rabbit hole, it just goes crazy, you know. All the different religious things out there. See, first off, they try to quote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They try to say separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution, and it never was. All right, now it says in there, Congress shall establish no religion, which essentially means that you're not going to have them saying that you got to believe this way or that. You believe what you want to believe, and as long as you ain't harming nobody kind of thing. But they have taken that so far out of context and to such an extreme that now you literally have hateful atheists running amok because you got maybe something like a crucifix over on a war memorial. Now they want to put some sort of satanic Baphomet statue up there next to it because they're offended by that and they want theirs on that. But it is nothing more than a divide and conquer craziness going on. Take God out of school, take God off the dollar bill, take God out of everything. And from where I stand, this world needs a whole lot more God than what they got now. I mean, people are dropping condoms on their head for Pete's sake.
What about our freedom of religion?
Yeah. So, on one hand, you don't want to offend the Muslims. On the other hand, you can offend the Christians, but on the other hand, some of the Muslim guys out there are talking about jihad and everybody and cutting their heads off, while on the other side, there's other groups of supposed Christians that are out there running amok, protesting people's funerals and stuff like that. So on both sides of the fence, you got wackos in every single group out there who are making everybody else look bad. And how do we resolve this? Straight across the board, you can't believe in nothing and you can't teach it. You can teach evolution. We all came from monkeys, but by God, don't you say God in school. I ain't no monkey. I didn't come from monkeys. Any of y'all come from monkeys?
The only religion that they want to silence is Christianity.
Yeah.
Everything else is tolerated and you can talk about it. And it's really a shame because my kid isn't very ill. She has a really strong faith. Volunteers at the church and stuff like that. And it hurts her feelings. But the little Muslim kids, they can talk as much as they want. I don't even think there are that many little Jewish kids that even have any kind of faith at all in the school. But there's quite a few Turkish and Muslims and stuff like that. Some of the kids even wear those, scarves and headscarves. And then Kwanzaa you can talk about,
Muddy, can you add Raymond in? I can't find him.
I can.
Hey, you want to know something funny about Kwanzaa?
What?
Look up. Remember Patty Hearst and the Symbionese Liberation Army?
Yeah.
SLA was totally FBI undercover CIA setup. Took some guy out of a mental institution, set up this revolutionary group there in San Francisco. But if you look at the principles of the seven-headed snake of the SLA, it is the Feast of Kwanzaa. It's the seven days of Kwanzaa. Look it up. It's the same exact thing,
Yep.
So when they say celebrate Kwanzaa, you should just put up that SLA snake,
Meanwhile, while they're out there stirring up the pot, keep pitting all the different religions against each other, they're also pitting all the different races against one another, all the different sexes against one another. You know, I read out earlier in the trending deal, there was a deal, Harry Styles talks about his man bun. Does anybody know what a man bun is?
Yeah, it's a little bun ponytail on the top of your head.
Yeah. So now you got men wanting to wear dresses, you got men wanting to wear buns in their hair, you got men wanting to, use the ladies' bathroom. There's a blurred line now between who's man and who's woman. They got to have gender equality. You can't offend the children, so you got to put the boys and the girls' toys all in the same deal and under the same color. Does anybody see a problem with this?
Hey, you know something? That's something too with these kids. There's actually kids in high school of young boys that come to school dressed as a girl. It's fairly common, this year too, they were upset that they weren't letting this little boy use the girl's bathroom. They're making him use the boy's bathroom, as far as the brainwashing with the transgender and the homosexuality, they've got that. They've got that down to a science. These kids all.
And on that note, you want to talk about separation of church and state. You want to talk about true representation. You tell me how this was true representation and how it had anything to do with separation of church and state and how the government is supposed to be a neutral party to ensure that the best for everybody. You tell me how this, I'm going to give you a scenario. You tell me how this was supposed to be, right for America. During that whole deal where they're arguing about whether or not gay marriage should be legal or not legal, right? The White House had the gay pride flag projected onto the side of the White House. I mean, right on the side of the people's house. Regardless of what Christians believe, regardless of what Mormons or anybody else out there to believe in, even the Muslim community for that matter, whoever it is in their belief that this is not something that they approve of or whatever, it was literally projected right on the side of the White House, right in everybody's face, no matter what, to basically glorify the one little minority out there. Now, do I got anything against gay people? No, I don't. That's to each his own. It's your business. It's between you and your creator. But for you to put that on the people's house, which is supposed to be representing all the people of the United States of America, that to me was not right. Now, do you guys see anything wrong with what I said?
Can I share a little tidbit?
You call them abominations.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
Okay, a lot of this stuff about the sexual revolution and homosexuality is based on McKinsey reports, okay? And I had on my show Dr. Judith Wrightson, and she's an old woman now, but she's done a lifetime's work study on Kinsey. Kinsey was an incredible, sick, perverted guy. You have no idea. You know, he circumcised himself in the bathtub. He did stuff where he would attach weights and stuff to his testicles and then drop them. Insane stuff. The man was a pedophile. He hired pedophiles, and the part of his study is the molestation of children. There was one little boy who was molested so badly that they caused 18 erections in this child, a 2-year-old infant, by the way, okay, in a 24-hour period. Insane, incredibly insane stuff went on with this Kinsey character. Now, the background to it, okay, is that the man was a Satanist, okay? And even in the movie, Rosemary's Baby, when they're reaching for a book on the bookcase, the Kinsey Report is right under the book that they're reaching for, product placement in there, okay? But he had Kenneth Anger at his home doing films up in his attic. Kenneth Anger, the famous Satanist, and he was also a follower of Aleister Crowley, and went to visit one of his Crowley, I forget what it's called, I think it's in Italy or something, one of his Crowley places. And was obsessed with the deviant sexual practices, pedophilia, and self-mutilation, and Crowley, and Satanism. And even Judith Wrightson, who spent her life's work exposing this man, when I was asking her about the stuff about Crowley and Anger, she said no one else ever asked her before. So that's another show you can go to open the archives. Incredible information came out in that show. And by the way, too, she has a library of documents on Kinsey that she's never shared with anybody. She told me she would let me come down there and go through all her library and stuff. And so, the whole, I built a lot of that kind of stuff. I go back to where the women's lib movement started, and a lot of, I like to go back and re-examine things from the past and bring back shows and do it about the, kind of bring it back to the modern day times and see how we got to where we are.
Well, it's mind-boggling. It's literally mind-boggling. On one hand, people want to deny any existence of a divine creator, and I'm not out here to say I got all the answers, all right? I'm not going to debate any longer anybody with my book on my own faith. I'm a Christian. If you don't like it, people don't have to talk to me. But what I'm seeing out here going on in this world is flat-out insane. These individuals out here that are doing the things that to children and the people, it's just sick. It's beyond sick. I can't wrap my head around it. It's so sick. So for anybody out there to think that there ain't no difference between good and evil, that there isn't some sort of evil plan in this world, some sort of satanic or evil agenda out there, you have to be blind. If you're not blind, that all these stories are fake. None of this stuff is real. It's some giant psychological mind screw of epic proportions to get people worried. But I'm a believer. I believe this stuff is really going on. I've seen some things. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. I mean, I've seen some things I don't even want to talk about. They were so dang hideous. And this world, the only people that is going to ever be able to change this is the people. You know, you see that dang video called The Dots, where there's a little tiny group of dots that is running amok and doing whatever they want. And in the process, these dots can manipulate whoever they want in that big old mass of people, you know. And, you know, hey, what better way to get control? Send some sickos in there to decapitate somebody. Get everybody scared. Now they're going to follow your lead. You see, you need their protection. Thomas Jefferson talked about it. The price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And, you know, I can't remember what the other phrase. Those who trade their liberty for security or whatever. You know what I mean.
You know, Shaz, I do a lot of shows and a lot of work on satanic ritual abuse and these satanic cults, these worldwide satanic cults. I've been doing it for a long time. And in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I had on one of Larry Flint's bodyguards, former Larry Flint's bodyguards, who was friends, he's friends today, with Bill Mensah. who was the hitman who killed Roy Raid, who was part of the Process Church cult, who was part of the, what do you call it, the Son of Sam cult in New York City. People familiar with those names. I've done a lot of work in these areas. You know, as a matter of fact, even I'm now getting confirmation from people in the cult that the work that I'm doing is okay. They think I'm a cool guy, by the way. They think I'm all right. The satanic cult, I have their approval. They think I'm a good guy and a good father, and my heart's in the right place, and they're feeding me information. Okay, it's fucked.
Well, ironically enough, if you talk to some Satanists, I have actually talked to some Satanists, and they say, well, we don't really worship Satan, you know.
These pedophiles and these... satanic ritual abuse groups, they go to the highest levels of government all around the world. And even I had on Henry Vincent, he wrote the book, The Confessions of a Hollywood Madam. It was a homosexual escort group that he had. And he was dealing with the guys from the whole Franklin cover-up. And what he called, he told me that when he was dealing with this guy, Craig Spence, that Craig Spence's full-time security team were Secret Service agents. Okay? And Craig Spence was a CIA-connected blackmail, homosexual blackmail, and pedophilia blackmail. And over and over and over, it's the same story. You get from the same people who've been researching this stuff for a very long time. So it's right there in your face, you know, and you can't deny it. I even had Tim Tate, the guy who did the movie about the Franklin cover, the one that was suppressed, Conspiracy of Silence. I had him on the show for an hour. If you're into that kind of stuff, I got a lot of content like that. I have a whole member section too, where people can sign up, and I have exclusive shows in the member section where they can find it. There's Henry Vincent and Tim Tate, all these kind of topics we cover all the time.
Well, people need to look into all these different subjects so they can kind of get a grip on it. But my advice to everybody out there, if you decide to go down a rabbit hole looking into the conspiracy things, you're going to have to step back and be cautious, because I'll tell you what, you will get sucked in. Yeah. And it's...
While we're on this subject, can I piss a few people off? Here we got an island of pedophilistic sex slaves run by one guy who winds up going to prison over all this stuff. But two... distinguished characters, Hillary and Bill, seem to frequent the place and party with the guy that runs this. And yet, we've had one that's already been president, and the other one wants to be president, too. Before that, we have a guy who's never born in the United States, so it's unconstitutional for him to even be a president. And so we're going to get another one that's unconstitutional by the same stupid deal of the pedophilistic sex slave idiot.
Well, let me touch on this Hillary thing for a second.
I think I'm done. I'll let y'all go on with that.
Do you remember whenever they were chasing down Gaddafi back in the day?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you would have saw, I don't know, maybe you guys have seen the video clip of Hillary, the way that she wringed her hands together and clinged in joy, talking about we came, we saw, and he's dead, and that kind of... That woman is pure evil, man. Who could celebrate a death, even of a bad guy, all right? Sure, this guy might have deserved what he got, all right? But maybe he didn't, all right? I don't know. I don't know enough about this man personally. Never met him in person. All I know is what the mainstream media said about him, and I don't trust the mainstream media as far as I can throw the planet. But the fact that this lady, who is like now running for president, took so much joy and delight out of hearing and telling about the death of somebody, even somebody who is the most terrible individual, you know, for them to die, you know, to me, you know, that's a tragedy, you know. This, whether they were a sick individual, and you know, some folks that say, you know, corporal punishment or death or whatever, I don't debate that. I don't even want to argue that. I'm just saying that every single time that we lose an individual or a soul out here on this world, humanity pays the price, because where is the fine line between them killing and you killing in retaliation? It goes all the way back to the deal I was talking about, where the little Palestinian girls were sitting there, and this reporter was asking them, do you ever want peace with Israel? And the first thing that came out of these little girls' mouth, and keep in mind, these girls were maybe 6, 7, 8 years old max. All right, these little girls turned around and said to this reporter, says, "We never want peace with Israel because they killed our mom and dad." Now, that chain will never be broken as long as we stay on the path that we're going, because if they're going to grow up, they're going to end up killing somebody on the other side. It's going to be the Hatfield-McCoy scenario over and over and over again, and humanity continues to go down the road as a tooth for tooth, eye for an eye kind of thing. I'm going to kill you, you're going to kill me, back and forth. You know, when does it stop? That's what I'm trying to ask. When you got leaders who clean their hands in joy with a big, huge smile on their face as if they just won the lottery, got a good Christmas present, somebody died. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it.
And by the way, too, that's the whole reason why that whole thing happened in Benghazi, because we killed their leader, we overthrew their government, and then we just left the same militias that we funded and supported. We're running wild over there. But really, really quick, though, I'd like to get back to Muddy when he was talking about Jeffrey Epstein, okay, the convicted pedophile, okay?
Yeah.
I've done a lot of shows on that, Muddy, okay? I've been interviewed on that about 10 times. I've been on Vin Eastwood, even John B. Wells had me on about that. And I, on my show, I had Nick Bryant, we talked about that, and I did a great interview with Pierce Redd about the Jeffrey Epstein case. Now, some stuff that just came out recently in the Jeffrey Epstein case, in his deposition, is that Trump blew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. Okay, that came out in the deposition. And why is Trump flying on this guy's plane when Trump has his own private plane? The other thing that came out, too, is that, you know, the girl, the main girl, Virginia Roberts, who's the head victim in that lawsuit against the federal government, because the federal government came down and silenced that case, and Jeffrey Epstein was facing, this guy molested 3 little girls every single day, okay, in his Palm Beach mansion. That's what his butler testified to, okay? On his walls down there, he had child pornography, naked little girls on his walls in that home. Anybody who walked in there was witnessing child pornography. Nothing happened. Now, this guy's buddies with everybody. He's buddies with Trump, buddies with Clinton. That guy's Ricky, who did the film about the Friedmans, Captain of the Friedmans. He's friends with him. His little black book has all these names in there. Courtney Love flew on his plane. The people from the Michael Jackson molestation case flew on this guy's plane. But the Trump connections to this guy is outrageous, and I don't know why it's not front page news.
Well, you know what I see? Yeah. I see it's a worldwide wrestling federation all over again. These guys come out and play beating each other up, and then their pals on out in the background. It's the same doggone way. All these people that are put up there, nobody gets at the Republican or Democrat debate unless they're one of the good old boys inside there. And they can sit there and argue back and forth. Oh, well, you're a crook. No, you're a crook, and you're a bad guy, whatever. Back and forth. But at the end of the day, every single one of these jive turkeys out there are supporting one another, and they're defying the Constitution just exactly. I'll put my hand up and I'll swear an oath to uphold and protect. And the moment they're in, the first thing they do is rush over there and try to deplete some more of the citizens' rights.
Can I get some more people?
They're all on the same page.
Right.
Go ahead.
Like I said before, I don't think all wars are religious anyway. But, who got put in the ovens? Let's retrace a little bit of history, because history does repeat itself. You got somebody who says he's going to take care of the people and give them jobs, make this country strong again, and started war and put people into making arms and stuff, and another war. And they want to do that here again, just like they did in Germany. Who does that remind you of?
Yeah, I totally hear you, man. Trump reminds me of Mussolini more than Hitler. You know, I'm going to actually be at the debate. The debates are here in Nevada on Tuesday. And I got my passes to get into the debate, and I got my press passes to get into the... I'm going to be in a Trump rally on Monday. Sneaking in. I hope I don't get killed.
I like Ross Brooke because he was a businessman who was going to take care of it, you know, but they made him look like a clown and only showed his jokes, you know. But this guy's serious, man.
Well, I'd love to go there with you, Ed, but I'd probably get thrown out because I'd ask the tough questions. They'd send me out, really fast because I'd ask the tough questions. Y'all out there talking about how you're going to solve this and solve that. I'm 50 years old, and I've been around listening to for over 30, 40 years of my life to this is going to get solved, that's going to get solved, the whole climate change issue arguing back 20 years as far as trying to get an agreement on it, but even 30, 40 years back on the bogus science. And you guys ain't accomplished nothing but sending our men, young men and women overseas to die and kill other people's children as well. You know, it's ridiculous. These folks, you ever seen my, Ed, you ever seen my video, Congressman Bongwater? You got to watch that video. It's a hoot, man, because it is a politician in a nutshell, you know. Hey, you lick me and I'll screw you on taxes. At least Congressman Bongwater's honest and up front. He tells you he's going to rip you off. These guys out there, they smile in your face and then rip you off. You know?
Well, you know, growing up, I was friends with Wavy Gravy, who used to run for president every 4 years on the Nobody for President campaign, you know? Nobody will raise your taxes. Nobody will stop the war, you know?
I'd vote for nobody.
He's still alive.
But
Boomer.
The whole point... Yeah, how's it going, Raymond? We hadn't heard from you. We need to hear from you.
It took a long time for me to get in here. I've been having computer problems like crazy, and I don't even know where you guys are.
Well, you're live on air right now on the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, I know. I realize that. But what you guys talked about, so far, what I've heard, everyone right. Every one of you, even the ones that don't sound like you're right, you are.
Well, what's...
You're talking about me.
What's the ultimate solution, guys? What's...
If you don't study history, you are bound by nature to repeat it.
What's the ultimate solution? Our backs are up against the wall. We know there's all these pitfalls and evils out there. We know we're not being represented. You know, Thomas said it earlier. He said a quote, the answer to 1984 was 1776. Now, I hesitate on that for a second because I don't want to see no second civil war here in the United States because ain't nobody going to win that mess. It's going to be bad. But on the same sense, you can't keep letting the status quo do what it is that they're doing out there because their track record, just like Raymond said, if you ignore history, it's going to repeat itself. And we're going down a bad road here. We're on the edge of World War III, maybe or maybe not. Maybe it's just a scam to get everybody all scared, want to sell more oil and medicine and guns and all that kind of stuff. But from what we've been told by the mainstream media, from what we've been told by the alternative media, from what we've been told by the disinformative people out there, we have been bombarded from every single direction with everything from defy and conquer to racist tactics to anti-God, anti-religion, anti-everything. And every time we come up with a solution such as an alternative energy, Stan Myers was driving the car back in 1979 on water. All right, the technology is there. It's proven. It can be done. And 2 weeks after he rejected the military's offer to put it in their equipment, they turned around and Stan Myers has a heart attack. And he told everybody before he died that he was poisoned. All right, well, take it how you want. But regardless, now they're talking about in the year 2016 or 2017, the United States Navy is going to be running their ships on what? Water. They're going to have hydrogen-fueled ships. So they'll be floating around on their water, picking their fuel up as they go. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one who gets it?
Well, the thing is about what you just said about Stan Myers. Why did he die?
He said he was poisoned. The words came out of his mouth. They poisoned me.
Enunciate my question properly. Why he killed? Let's put it that way.
Because he had something that was going to dip into the wallet of the fuel industry.
No. Sorry. I disagree. Totally. That's what I love about this program. We agree to disagree. He was killed simply because he was the only man that knew how to do it. If he had been totally public with it, just like we are, just like you should live. Every time you find something, you go public. You don't want to make money out of it. You want people to know about it. If everybody knows about it, then who are they going to kill?
Well, there lies the solution. Thing is,
why did Brian die, our friend up there? Why did Brian die? And, you know, he died of a heart attack. And it's very, very, very suspicious that it was certain energy waves that I haven't heard about when I was in when I was a freshman in high school, that they could take certain frequencies and just stop your heart. So,
well, for those folks out there,
be poisoned.
Hey, Muddy, for those folks out there who don't believe that there are energy weapons that can do that, I want you to go in your kitchen right now. And I want you to stand in front of the microwave oven, and I want you to contemplate on how that microwave oven actually heats your food.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying for all those folks out there who don't believe in that the potential, the science is potential there, and energy being transmitted up to the upper ionosphere to heat that up, I want you to actually go in there. For those listeners out there who aren't sure about this, go in there and just contemplate on how your microwave oven works. And then, if you still ain't got it, get on YouTube and do a little bit of research on how it actually functions. And then you can understand how a waveform can actually interact with a molecule. Your brain has water in it. Your brain is an electrical generator of its own. It's sending electrical impulses out there. And so a frequency wave can interfere with your brain just the same way as that doggone microwave can cook a baked potato.
Conductor pass of electromagnetism and electricity. Yeah, so they're messing up. They different parts of your brains oscillate at different frequencies, and your computer is supposed to sit there and map it all out and put it on its hard drive, so that when it becomes time that they really want to, they can go with your smart meter or your Wi-Fi and take care of you.
Well, after
there's a whole list of things that you can come down to, but you know, I want to look at this part too. You know. Put the egg in the microwave and all that, and you watch it cook and stuff. But, you know, there's one thing that has always flabbergasted me just looking at it. These little cockroaches can run around in your microwave while it's on the whole time something's cooking, and they just keep running around, and they don't fry.
I've seen that.
I don't want to get into the point there where if what you eat is what you are, but, you know, I'd like to survive, but I'm not going that far.
Well, that wavelength for a cockroach is not going to interact with that cockroach because of the cockroach, the way the cockroach is actually made, for one, which is some science that should be studied up as well. But the microwave to the cockroach is a lot bigger than the microwave is to the molecules in that potato.
Yeah, your microwaves are pretty much right at about 1/32nd of an inch quarter wavelength. Now these, it's kind of, you ever watch an ultrasonic cleaner and look at the patterns of the waves in the water while it's running? What these suckers are doing inside there are running in between those waves.
Yeah.
But, get off of that.
Well, anyway, the fact is the science is out there, the technology is out there, and if, for folks that don't believe in conspiracies, and somebody tell me what the heck happened to Jimmy Hoffa. Is he underneath the stadium or up under the street somewhere? You know, hey, conspiracies have been going on since day one, you know. And the first murder was created with a rock. It was done with a rock, according to my book. But, you know, hey, we got band rocks, got to band pencils, rubber bands, because that can put an eye out. We got to band everything that's dangerous. Everybody needs to be wrapped up in bubble wrap and just stand there and know your place and shut your face kind of thing. The solution to this whole deal is education, for one, for people to get out there and get educated, for people to get proactive, to know what it is you're talking about before you vote for it. To get out there and do like what all these guys have been telling you all along. Instead of trying to get filthy, stinking rich off of it, put that knowledge out there on the table for everybody to run with it. If everybody has a widget, you can't sell a widget. So it's as simple as that. If you want the world to know about alternative energy and you come up with a design or whatever, you put it on the table, you let the world run with it, and you build it, you don't ask for permission, you just get it done.
Educate, teach the people how to build it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you said about banning this and banning that. You understand that people who want to ban guns, they don't really want to remove all the guns from the world. They just want to centralize them so only the government has guns.
Yeah, pretty
much. Because if they're okay with banning guns, then they're okay with somebody showing up with guns and taking other people's guns from them.
And the only people left with guns other than the government are criminals.
The thing is, I mean, you can have a gun, even though they ban guns. All you have to do is register for it. Now, this is the problem. You register for a gun, when another country comes in and tries to take you over, the first thing they do after they destroy communications is they go to the city hall and they find out who has guns. And then they go get them. I mean, that has been since the very first country in the world ever passed a ban on guns and you had to register your guns. That from that day on, that is the first thing any comfort power does. They go to city hall, find out who has guns, they go get those people.
Well, if anybody out there wants to know why there are individuals out there in this world dropping water-filled condoms on their head to see if they'll stick, then all you got to do is listen to the information flow going out there, and you'll see there's a good reason why everybody's all getting drugged up, and there's a good reason why everybody's acting all kinds of crazy, because the people out there have ignored their children. They've ignored education. They've allowed certain individuals to rewrite history. They've ignored history. We're still going to war. There's still starving babies in the world. There's still all these things that everybody says we're trying to fix, and we ain't getting a dang thing accomplished. Ain't nothing. How long does it take to solve an issue such as a third world country living in poverty and starving to death? We got equipment we can take over there and irrigate and teach them how to farm. They can feed themselves. We've got everything that is necessary to solve every single problem on this doggone globe, but it's going to take the average Joe a grassroots campaign of epic proportions from every nation, from every state, from every town, from every village, from every little group, nook and cranny on this planet, for the average Joe to get up off their butt, put down the condoms, and get out there, pick up a mop, a rake, a hammer, or something, and fix something. Clean it up. Clean up your own backyard before you start complaining about the people's backyard across the doggone planet.
Well, I know, man, is basically we got to take those who are above the law and take them out of their position.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They need to be removed from
office.
There's
no reason why the Queen can go up into Canada and the upper part of the United States and visit Indian reservations and leave with children and women and no clue as to what happened to them.
Why is the Queen eating caviar when the baby's over there laying in the dirt with flies on his face, sweating to death and starving? Why?
She ain't eating caviar, Bubba.
Why are we spending thousands of dollars on one single bomb that we're going to go over there and we're going to drop on a supposed terrorist and in the process maybe potentially take out collateral damage? And for those of you that don't understand the word collateral damage, that means your children, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, that is your family that is going to get mopped while they take out that one bad guy. But the ends justify the means. It's all right that we can accidentally kill somebody. We're sad. We'll send them a little bit of money, and they'll be happy with that. Does anybody besides me see the ludicrousy in that?
Yeah.
That's what.
I was lucky enough to get my Social Security card and sign up for the draft and never get chosen. So I'm kind of glad at that, but you know, it's the deal. It's kind of like Country Joe and the Fish talking about be the first one on your block to have your son sent home in a box.
Yeah.
Who fights their wars? You got a bunch of raving idiots that want to sit there and put themselves up in power, and then across the world, there's another person who wants to put themselves up in power, and they're all on the same they're all the same kind of people, same thing and same background. Just like every president has basically got the same genealogy. Just like you was talking about Hillary Clinton with the, you know, rolling her hands over each other. It's the same exact way as the Queen. Could it be hereditary? And what's the deal? So you got all these people in power, and they say, okay, it's time to play games. Yeah, let's start with war here. Okay, you send your guys over here, you send that. And just, I'd have to go right back to that, putting them all in the doggone football stadium while we sit up there and drink beer and eat wieners and watch them fight it out in the middle, and whoever wins is the winner, and then we get to do as we want it.
Yeah,
you want... I think that's the way to do it. Don't send us to fight your little games.
You want
to... It's games.
They're already given the proper solution for it, man.
You want to hear a strange bit of irony?
They are public servants. Public servants. Think about that word. Public servant. We are private citizens.
You want
we're private citizens. So who gets privacy and who gets, you know, publicly exposed on a daily basis?
Alright, listen to this, guys.
We need to flip the camera.
You want to hear a bit of irony, and I want you guys to keep this one. I want you guys to use this one. I want you guys to take this one to the bank. Here's a bit of irony. Does anybody know what body bags are made out of? Body bags. Does anybody know what body bags are made out of?
What?
Plastic. All right. You with me so far?
Yeah,
so far.
All right. Well, body bags are made out of plastic. What's plastic made out of?
Oil.
So, essentially, when you're going over there to fight for oil, you're going over there to supply your own body bags.
That's crazy shit, this.
It's the truth.
I understand what you're saying. Well, wow, man. But like I said before, man, put a camera on every single politician, every single political entity out there. Everybody's screaming about putting cameras on police officers. A police officer's only carrying around one gun. A politician with the stroke of a pen can send thousands of guns and tanks and aircraft and bombs to anywhere they want to send it to. So we need to put a camera on every single one of those people to see who they're talking to, what they're deciding to do, where, you know, and put some sort of something into play that we can vote those people out on the spur of the moment. We catch them doing something online, like literally that needs to be broadcast online so you and I can sit and watch, see what the president's doing all day long. When he's doing private things we don't want to see, we can at least hear what he's doing, and it's inside of an enclosure that he cannot get a signal in there. No telephone. Sorry, you don't get to send text messages back and forth between the owner of Exxon so you can decide what the next law is going to be to put them on top of the game so that basically they can stay in power even though they should have been out a long time ago. Turn it on Truman Show, and instead of taxing people to death, we monetize everything. So when you go to watch those videos to see what these people are up to, including the archive videos that we hold on to for probably 7 to 10 years, and still prosecute them if we manage to uncover something that they did that happened to slip by the public's eye because they were too busy watching something else, we see it later, you're still getting in trouble. If you did it, you get in trouble for it. And you get treated like everybody else.
Yeah, and one of the things...
I like your concept that you got there on what the politicians should go through before they can even be voted on.
One of the things that needs to go right out of the gate...
You run them through an MRI and watch their emotional responses to stimuli so you can see if they're a psychopath or not.
Yeah, but one of the things...
They don't get in.
One of the things that's most important and needs to go right out of the gate right from the start is diplomatic immunity. If you come over here, I don't care if you're a politician, if you commit a crime, you go to jail just like the average Joe.
Right. Well, like I said, though, you got to catch them. You put them on camera and put that broadcast that online and then monetize that and make companies pay if they want to put an advertisement on there and use that money to fund our country.
Thomas,
you are absolutely 100 and if possible 17.5% more.
I'm agreeing with you, Thomas, but this
one is this is the whole problem. They've got to pass that law.
There's
what idiot in Congress would even vote for a law that would allow you to put a camera on. The first thing we've got to do, the first thing to do, is get rid of the daggone politicians, especially the ones that are lawyers. Because, let me tell you something, if you're a truck driver and somehow you wind up in Congress, are you going to vote for a law that's going to hurt truck drivers? No. Are you going to vote for a law that would help truck drivers? Even if the law is illegal, but you can vote it and make it legal, and it's going to help truck drivers. Would you vote for that law? Yes, you would, because you're a truck driver. Lawyers are in Congress. 80%, more than 80% of all Congress is ex-lawyers.
The law has to be equal across the board.
Hey, listen, man. What Shazam said, the only way we're going to get equalization is if everybody can see what these people are doing.
Exactly.
Right. If you've got internet access, you can see what they're doing, and you know how it's going to affect you, because it doesn't take long, once you've seen something, to figure out what's going on.
Well,
and
Thomas,
when I say you figuring something out, I mean you as in, like, the public.
Thomas,
it
I'm
might
trying.
Take one individual a long time to figure it out, but somebody else who's in the same position, who feels the same way that person does in life, or has the same interest and concerns,
Thomas,
will figure it out before them.
Thomas, I was trying to get to your point to where exactly what's going on. We got cameras in our face everywhere we go. There's cameras in our face. Cameras watching us. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If they can watch us, then it should be straight across the board. We should be watching them as well.
No, hold on. They shouldn't be allowed to watch a private citizen.
Well, I understand that. I agree.
Be watched. We need to flip that camera back around. If it's a public location, like a courthouse, or a bank, because right now, as far as I'm concerned, all banks are sponsored by the government. They're fostered and protected by the government, so they have to be public too. That includes the Federal Reserve. We got to see every single dollar they put out, why they put it out, where it went, and we need to stop them from putting that money into banks that are nothing more than another business. Whenever they create new money, it needs to go out into the general populace, because they're stealing from the general populace when they print new money, because they're taking the value down of the money that those people worked hard to earn.
Well, all I'm saying, look, and I agree with you, all I'm saying is the cameras, if they're going to be focused on us, they need to be focused on them as well. They always put in place laws that will protect them, such as insider trading, you know. Mm-hmm. They'll make it where it's illegal enough for them to do it, and if they get caught... Have you ever seen very many congressmen or senators go to jail for crimes that they've committed? No, they got the money to buy themselves out, and or the ones who won't toe the line as far as the status quo, they end up all being the only ones to go to jail.
Well, you know, you guys know we already have them on camera, you know.
Yeah.
If you read the probable cause affidavit for Jeffrey Epstein's house, that house was filled with surveillance equipment. So all these politicians that went through there, like Bill Clinton, and Epstein had 19 private phone numbers for Bill Clinton. He had phone numbers for everybody in Trump's family. They've all been through that house on camera, walking right past child pornography.
Amen.
On camera.
The question, though, is that being broadcast online so you can see it as soon as it happens?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but my point is that they're being blackmailed. And this has been going on for years. Back to the like I said, the White House, the Confessions of a DC Madam, you know, where the Secret Service was working for Craig Spence, and he had a room full of cameras there taping these politicians. Who was at these parties? Ted Koppel. You know, Vince Vaughn was on the show. He's talking about Ted Koppel being at these parties. You know? So, you know, they're all being blackmailed. Everyone's being compromised. Everybody works at the UN, too, is under compromise by U.S. Agencies and stuff. But then this blackmail ring that they have going on, it's all over the place. So, it's a great idea to put them on camera, but they're all being blackmailed. It's all
like I said, on camera and broadcast immediately and archived online in an untamperable location, so therefore you can roll back 5-7 years later and still go ahead and prosecute someone if you catch them having done something that was, you know, was that bad. Get them out of office the second they're, we catch them doing something wrong. It won't take very long before we'll have a whole clean slate, you know.
Not to mention, we can start pushing back all the power the government has and make it the people's responsibility to do something about whenever something is found, and let those cameras and the fact that they're wandering around doing what they're doing be the expose to let us know what corporations and people are doing wrong whenever they show up to investigate something, and just turn them into an investigatory system, you know, where they go around and investigate, and then they expose it to the public, and then the public decides what to do about it.
If we had where everyone of the Republic would have to donate a half hour or an hour once a month, we wouldn't have to spend as much money to run government, and we'd have the strongest government in the world. Thus, we'd also have a government that's very, very hard to corrupt. As soon as one of these would be taken care of, because hey, these people
for something
would not
like that, you know what our strongest opposition would be? After we overcome the opposition of our own government refusing, the people in power refusing to give up their power, once we overtake that and start pushing that out of the way, the strongest opposition is going to be other countries, because they know full well that with it being online, their country is going to see it, yeah, and they're going to start demanding it there, too.
That's right.
Well,
boy, that'll torque some jaws.
Yes, it would.
What it all boils down to at the end of the day is, and I don't care who gets upset at me for saying it, man, y'all need to get right with God. That's all there is to it, because this thing is like so freaking overwhelming. I mean, it's the octopus of epic proportions of pure evil running amok on this planet. When there's people that can't even believe in what they want to believe without fear of having their heads chopped off, when you can't even drive from one end of the road down to the next without having some guy with a gun strapped to his side trying to drag you out of the car for refusing to sign a ticket, when you got people overseas that are starving to death, people on the other end of it getting bombed and shot up, and all this crud going on around here, it's freaking insanity of epic proportions that could drive any sane man over the edge. We're standing literally on the abyss. We're standing on the edge of the abyss. We're on the verge of a potential World War III, and the best that the average Joe can do is fill a condom up with water and drop it on their freaking head, for Pete's sake? You tell me.
The thing is, we're spoiled, she says. We're spoiled. In other parts of the world, just for praying or being a Christian, they execute you right now, no trial. No court, no nothing, right there in the middle of the street.
Well, those folks out here that complain and think that they got the world, they got it so bad. I'm living like a king, all right? I'm living literally like a king. Old King Shaziz the Terrible is living like a king, because there's somebody in this world who doesn't have electricity, doesn't have access to fresh water, doesn't have access to medical care, doesn't have access to decent food or shelter or any of that thing. Even though my house by most people's standards would probably be classified as a dump, I'm living like a king. And I get so doggone frustrated. If I had access to the printing machine that the Federal Reserve uses, I'd be printing off dollar after dollar after dollar, flooding that poor town over there with people that would be willing to go over there and build them houses to irrigate their farms, to teach them and give them the medicine that they need. I'd be taking every dang bit of money out of the war machine and moving it over to solving something definite, instead of what's this war solving? Any of these wars, what are they solving? All they're doing is feeding the dang beast that's eating people alive. They're murdering, robbing, raping, looting, and pillaging, and all the shenanigans going on by all the leaders. Every time, like you guys just said a minute ago about the doggone cameras, there was cameras in that house all over. They had surveillance. That information is out there, or was out there, if it hasn't been suppressed and or destroyed or used to blackmail. Find the blackmailers. Find their goody pot and ship that information out to every single person on this planet. These folks ain't solving nothing. You know, that nothing, no resolution, no good resolution comes from the end of the barrel of a gun, with the exception of the answer to 1984 being 1776, where you take the corrupt SOBs out of power and you put somebody in there who's really going to represent the people. When's the last time you've seen somebody poor get elected to office? Never.
Jimmy Carter.
I need to breathe. Jimmy Carter wasn't poor. He owned a peanut farm.
And his brother owned a beer factory.
Billy Beer.
That's right.
All I'm saying, guys, is look, you know, we sit around and we pull all kinds of ideas and solutions, and we put them on the table, and if we could only get our voices heard in the right forum, then maybe we could get something done. But until that point, it's up to each and every one of us to try to make a bit of difference every single day. You know, no matter how small it seems to you, you feed that homeless guy, give him a buck if he needs a buck. If he's got a sign asking for money, don't sit there and try to say, well, he's just going to buy drugs or alcohol. Maybe that's the only comfort he's ever going to get during that day. Get him whatever. Just look, try to help him out. If you're worried about that, take him some food over there. If he throws it in the dirt, then you know you at least tried. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was sitting here thinking about how if anybody out here can hear Shaz's rant, Thomas, Boomer, Barry, me, you got running water, you got heat in your house, electricity, you're definitely in the 1%.
Yep, Ken Anderson did a really good clip about that.
That's right.
You know, I just...
As long as we got our TV dinners and our radial tires, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, you see a tornado and a town get wiped out. The next thing you do is change the channel and say, gosh, glad it wasn't me. And that's as far as the feeling goes.
You know what we should be doing every time we hear that? We should be going and checking our cupboards out and seeing if there's anything that we could do without that we could send over to help them out. If they just lost everything they had, you know, there's surely something that you got that you don't really need because you got plenty of, and just help them out. You know what I mean?
I would like for once to go travel, bring water and all that stuff, and when PETA says, oh no, you can't bring that in here, while we're distracting him at the gate, we'll be running through the woods with a whole lot more. And go on over and just go ahead and help out as many people as we can. I'd love to do that. It's one of my deals. So one of the things I do want to do once in my life at least, go help those who are in need.
Well, that sounds good, Muddy. Everybody should take a journey like that. You should take some time out of your life. Everybody out there who has time. If you're unemployed, that'd be a better time to do it. If you're in between jobs, hey, go around to your neighbors and say, look, I'm going to go out and find some people that need some help. You got anything you want to donate to help them out? Because I'm just going to go out there and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand it out. I'm even going to film it. So you'll see where I'm giving this stuff away to. You know, I'm not just trying to do you wrong or anything like that. You know, go on a journey like that. Find you some connections out there, some other human beings. There's people out there in need of help. There's people out there, something as simple as a hug or a smile could make all the difference in the world to them. You know, and it's those little positive pebbles, those little ripples in the pond that we keep talking about over and over and over again, that's going to fight against this big giant beast of pure evil that is engulfing the world.
Yeah, you people know? Are worried about, well, I'm going to go broke, I'm going to be this, you know, that's not the way it is. He who doesn't work doesn't eat, not he who isn't getting paid.
We just, man, we're up against the biggest beast. I mean, we're out here literally. You know, we talk ironically enough about the Knights of the Round Table. We're out here slaying dragons, man. There are plenty of dragons to go around. More people need to pick up the sword of truth and start wielding that sword of truth in defense of those out there who really need the help. There's people out there suffering right now who are, you know, being taken advantage of in every different direction. You know, and you have the power to help them out. You know, they got this whole do something, say something campaign focused on the people. Well, where's the whole do something, say something focused on the politicians and the people that are causing all this mess? The people who are out there dividing and conquering all the peoples of every land out there. The people who are out there destabilizing nations and then turning around and telling the people out there, well, the reason why we got to go over there and bomb the heck out of these folks is because of this one guy over here who's radical, and we got to go over there and we got to get him under control. When in reality, if you take a step back and you look at what the ultimate target is on their eye spectrum right there, you'll find out that they're over there for resources. They're not over there to help those people out. If they were over there to help those people out, they wouldn't be bombing them. You see what I mean? We got to save our children's future, man. I say it all the time, we are the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, neighbors of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely, without a doubt, define the world that they live in tomorrow. The Knights of the Round Table stands for that. That's what it's all about. It's not just to get up here and shout and piss and moan about everything that's going bad in the world. It's about trying to bring solutions, like what Raymond talks about on the lighting, to help you save some money on there. Or Muddy doing his actual flux wind turbines. Or Thomas's brilliance on chemistry and his other knowledge and everything like that. All these individuals like Ed that just he took a leave of us here. And Barry out there. People that... are out there trying to put something out, you know? That's what it's all about. You know, Barry said he couldn't get a word in edgewise. I'm sorry, Barry.
Oh, good morning, Barry.
He's in the deal, but he's not in the call, I don't think. Anyway, we get worked up out here, our guys. Yes?
Yep.
We really do.
You've said several times, that many times, and you believe it, and you follow up with it. You don't ask for donations. Well, I want to do something, and I have already put it in motion. I'm one of these guys that, when I say get up off your butt and do something, I'm up off my butt standing on my feet. I'm going to do something, all right? But I'm going to need some help. And I'm talking to the radio listeners out there, all right? I want to help people cut their electric bills. Now, the private individual, all you got to do is watch some of my videos on LED lighting as opposed to fluorescent lighting. Okay, private individuals, I can't help you that any more than that, but you can help me. We can save a lot of oil, a lot of energy, if we take all these high-rise buildings and replace all the fluorescent lights with LEDs. We can cut their electrical usage by 50%. I'm willing to do that. But I need people out there to listen to me, that I don't want to get rich doing it. I just want to make a living. But I want to help the world. Okay? So if you know somebody that owns a building that has a lot of lighting in it, that's all fluorescent, and they want to have the money or want to change their carbon footprint, big deal. I'm here. Tell them about me. Contact me. I will do whatever the heck I have to. I have trained professionals that know how to do this. I'm willing to do it, willing to help anybody, anytime.
Well, every move forward, every little baby step forward in any direction positively for the people, to help them out, to make the people stronger, is more beneficial. And something as simple as getting control of your finances so you have extra money to take care of extra people, that is a plus as far as I'm concerned. So all these little things, as insignificant as you may think they are, they really make a difference when it comes down to the overall picture, big picture going on here. Whatever you folks out there can do good for each other, whether it be education-wise or just something as simple as a smile or helping feed the homeless or whatever, you know, that's what it's about. It's about we the people, grassroots, hard work, blood, sweat, and tear, and love, to take care of one another, doing what's right, doing what's true. That's the Knights of the Round Table in a nutshell, and I hope you guys appreciate it.
All right, now that I'm off my soapbox, I'll get realistic. I'm asking the people out there to help me. I need help. I need people to get out there and talk to other people and explain to them. And if anybody needs to talk to me or contact me for any kind of help in this matter of what I'm trying to do, you can contact me through Boomer Drywall at, not at, I'm sorry, it's boomerdrywall.com, Louisville, Texas.
Cool. Well,
just drop me a couple of them lights here, Boomer.
Go to boomerdrywall.com and hit contact and send me an email.
Hey, drop me a couple of them lights, Boomer. I'll put it in my next video.
I'll get them to you.
All right, guys, we're down to it again.
I'll even pay for them. I'll put them in the money bag.
You want to talk about a long, passionate show? That was it, you know. But this is what has to be done. Say, sometimes things have to be said, and the podcast will be up there for everybody who missed out on what it was all about. But if you like what we're doing here, spread the message, you know. And if you don't like our network, build your own network. Get everybody out there. Get them talking to each other, you know, and start finding the solutions. Start using the solutions. They're out there. You got every single thing you need. We've got every single resource. We've got every single material necessary. We just got to get them in the right hands, the right people who have the brilliance and the artistic talents and the skills to do what it is that needs to be done to make this world a better place. I can't say it any more than that. Anybody else got anything before we peel up out of here?
Yeah. Please, help me. Everybody out there, please, do something. Get off your dead duck and help me. Find people that want to do something, that want to save money on their energy use, and in fact save the world by using less energy, because LED, T12 LED fluorescent bulb replacements use half the electricity, so instantly they're going to start saving money. Number two, they give off better light, a much cleaner light. They give off no UV rays, therefore they're not as dangerous to your eyes. In fact, my own eye doctor just 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to him about the LED lights, and he was telling me that they've been doing studies for the past 8 years on fluorescent lightings and the UV rays, and they claim that the rate of cancer in people's eyes is climbing because of it. Well, there are no UV rays in LED light replacements.
The fluorescent lights take away your vitamin A, E, and D. And a few others.
LED lighting does not. I mean, they're healthy.
Doesn't have a fraction of the heat.
And if it didn't
a fraction of the electricity.
In electrical use.
Well, I'd like to set my house up like that, Raymond. But
it does save you money, and it's healthier for your body.
We're running out of time, guys. Muddy, you got anything left?
I guess just love your neighbor, love everyone you can. If you can do something for them, it's not going to be forgotten. It's, even if you do it without them knowing, it'll come back to you.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. What about you, Thomas?
Nah, you guys go ahead.
All right.
I don't have anything more to add today.
Well, it's been brilliant as usual. I appreciate y'all being here. All of the honorable knights of the round table that show up every time and try to work things out together. And like Raymond said, we can agree to disagree, but you notice we're not cursing each other out, and we're trying to be respectful to everybody out there involved. We're just trying to see some problems out there in the world and put the solutions, the answers on the table. I say we have all the answers that we need. It's just a matter of whether or not we're going to get up and clean it up. You know, we got to fix it ourselves. So with that said, everybody, you've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to play us up out of here with a couple little clips and just our normal out deal. So peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Throughout humanity's existence on Earth, there have been rulers and there have been the slaves. Which line do you fall into? An easy question with a not-so-easy answer. The fact of the matter is that by merely being able to listen to the sound of my voice automatically puts you into what I call the real 1%. Nearly 7 billion souls on this tiny speck of sand in this universe, most of them, Nearly 6.5 billion try to scratch out a living on less than $2 per day. The disparity between the haves and have-nots is incredibly wide. Yet, you are the 1%. The 1% which has access to clean water, food, electricity, internet, education, the list goes on and on. Daily, we're conditioned to make money, pay our taxes, because it's patriotic, buy things we really don't need, and to teach our children to do the exact same thing. We live in a world where they're told our personal self-worth is measured by the money we have and the things we own, sometimes not realizing we really don't own anything. After all, we can't take any of it with us when we leave this little speck of dust at the end of the day. We're made to believe that we are unfortunate to those who have more wealth than we do. We are made to believe that because of this disparity, we are the downtrodden, the disadvantaged, without ever looking at the full picture. We are tricked into divisiveness between left and right, between him and her, us and them, between black and white, where there really is no black and white, just many shades of gray. And yet we still run on a treadmill like little rats in a cage. We wake up, we work, we pay tax, we go home, we buy stuff to fill an empty hole in our souls. And the cycle repeats. Instead of doing a more intelligent thing of downsizing, doing with less and helping fellow humanity, we keep running on the treadmill. Bigger houses, fancier cars, bigger TVs. The biggest step to finding a solution is to realize a problem exists. The next step comes from within. I'm Kent Anderson, and you've been listening to Shouted from the Moon. What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
one. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to
Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and blind that our quiet on sing able. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Favour the Turbo! Always looking to favour the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!